Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is Tuesday all day. Oh yeah, we call that Taco Tuesday. By the way, I had meatloaf on Monday yesterday, and it's Taco Tuesday today. Hit me some of that Taco Tuesday.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's
My favorite part is Speedy Gonzalez at the end. Taco Tuesday, welcome to Right Side Radio. We got 3 hours of just the best right here for you, and making it the best, JP pushing buttons on the board. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good, and you always make me hungry to start the show, so thanks for that.
It's just the way we roll.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's about food. We'll just, you know, like a bunch of bony ranger students, nothing else to do. We sit around and talk about food. All right. Hey, listen, we got good stuff laid on for you today. Coming up at 3:30 today, many of y'all are keenly aware of the work being done by Emily Jones and Moms for Liberty. Emily Jones has a new piece that just came out this morning on 1819 News, and we're going to get her to unpack it for us at 3:30. Don't forget that when Emily Jones is coming up. And then I got a triple dipper just filled up with stuff. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, I'm calling it For the Kids. I mean, can we please, please prioritize our children? And I don't mean like prioritizing for the liberal agenda, which what seems to be the most often, you know, the problem we have with our kids these days is things being foisted on them by the left. And so, yeah, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to talk about it. I'm calling that whole dipper For the Kids, and we'll run the gamut on that in conjunction with our conversation also with Emily Jones. And then number two, oh, man, if you're not watching what's happening in the Middle East right now, you'd better. I mean, it's getting on to epic scale right now. So I'm calling this one Middle East Front Lines. So Middle East Front Lines, number two on the triple dipper, we'll examine Israel, Iran, what's happening in Lebanon. We'll talk. We'll hear some discussion from General Jack Keane. But Middle East front lines, that's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, y'all, I found a story this morning, and it sort of tied in with things we're seeing from Elon Musk here of late. And I decided to call this one Stranger Than Fiction. I've got a series of technology-based stories that you look at it and go, well, there's an unintended consequence. Didn't see that coming. But we'll talk about it. Number three on the triple dipper is called Stranger Than Fiction. Well, all right, let me jump over into the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll just, you know, every single day we do this, giving you some thoughts, some things we've put together. But the Right Side Way is how we always start the show. And today I'm calling this one Save Our Kids. And I'll start off by saying there is something special about baby laughter. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, if you're having a bad day, just get on your phone and Google baby laughter, and in seconds, you'll be smiling. I mean, it has an unabashed depth to it. Baby laughter is like real. Baby laughter is from the heart. There's an innocence to it. There's an absolute purity. It is joy expressed at levels that adults can just not match. That's because babies are special. Everything's a wonder. Nothing is old hat to them. Everything's new. As babies develop into children, we can marvel at the various stages of their growth and development. And truthfully, I guess really every age has its own milestones. Speaking of milestones, though, this past weekend was a milestone for Charlene and I, or as we are known to our grandkids, Cap and Sweetie. So Cap and Sweetie, this past weekend, we had our 5-year-old grandson come stay with us all by himself. It was big doings, y'all. He liked to say he was on vacation. And we did it all, man. Friday night, we got pizza at a little place down by the river. Saturday morning, we had donuts and scrambled eggs for breakfast. Then we took off to the McWayne Center in Birmingham, which was just like way cool fun and kept him running from one experiential science exhibit to another, which, by the way, also included an IMAX movie of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And now at 5 years old, since he's seen the movie, he tells me he wants to be a paleontologist. What 5-year-old can say paleontologist? Mine can. All right, then. Sunday after church, he was supposed to go home, but he convinced us with some amazing persuasive skills, of which I was very proud, that he needed one more night of vacation at Cap and Sweetie's. So we took the top off the Jeep and went to Sonic for a hot dog. I don't know who was more exhausted, that 5-year-old little man or the Cap and the Sweetie. But I wouldn't trade that time for the world. Not at all. Kids are absolutely a gift from God. And I know, by the way, that parenting can be hard. We raised ours. They're adults now. But I would bet that some of y'all out there are also grandparenting in the absence of actual parents. So thank you for what you're doing there. Because, yes, it's worth it. Yes, children are truly a gift from God. But that's also why I'm concerned. That's why I want to direct my comments for a few minutes to our kids. Our culture is, on the one hand, doing all that we can for our kids, and on the other hand, we're destroying them at a rate never before seen. As a nation, as a culture, we're going to be held accountable one day. Look, it's not enough to say that we were good stewards with our possessions or our skills and talents or our economy or our natural resources or our time. One of the greatest forms of stewardship that any culture can be measured against is a simple question. What did you do with the children? You may recall a horrible story from a few years ago. There was a troubled young girl in public schools in Appomattox County, Virginia. She was 14 years old. The young lady decided she wanted to transition to being a trans male, she called it. Her school system decided to help her, did not tell the parents that every day at school they were working with their daughter to change her identity. They also didn't tell the parents that the young lady was being bullied by other students. Now, the parents were apparently out of touch, but the school system was also way out of line. The secrecy and the bullying apparently became too much for the young lady, and she ran away, where she was preyed upon by child sex traffickers. She was taken to Baltimore. She was kept in a locked room where she was repeatedly raped. But she was eventually rescued by the FBI, except that there was an activist Baltimore public defender by the name of Anissa Khan, and she refused to return the girl to her parents because they would not affirm her new trans identity, she said. This public defender, Khan, even threw away the letters the parents wrote and sent their daughter and led the girl to believe they did not want her. Khan even put the young lady in a boys' group home. When a judge ordered Khan to return the girl to her parents, Khan chose to appeal the ruling. Meanwhile, the stress on the young girl had reached a point that she ran away again, and she was abducted by another sexual predator and taken all the way to Texas. But Texas authorities rescued her for a second time, and they immediately returned her to her parents. Look, as you might imagine, the parents sued the Baltimore Public Defender's Office and the Appomattox School System. Those events occurred back in 2021, and just a few months ago this year, in 2024, the activist public defender Anissa Khan was actually dismissed from the lawsuit, believe it or not, but only on technical grounds. From what I've gathered, though, in the several articles that I've reviewed about the young lady, she does appear to be doing well. And Virginia state legislators, they later introduced legislation to be named for her that would prevent any school system from ever withholding information from parents again. And I hope, it is my sincere hope, that some well-deserved justice comes for that sweet young lady who had her entire childhood robbed from her by a combination of activism, arrogance, indifference, and sexual predators. I mean, at every turn, society failed her. At every turn. Now, I can't speak for her parents. I don't know if they were tuned out or just kept out. But I do know this. Everything I can see is they never stopped trying to bring her home. But if kids are a gift from God, and I believe they really are, then how is it that we as a society have allowed so much pervasive and abusive behavior to be inflicted on them? I mean, on the one hand, we're seeing more and more kids who remain in like a perpetual state of adolescence, while on the other, we see them forced into adult decisions about their sexual identity. The magazine, the journal, Scientific American, ran an article a few years ago. It said that the age 25 is the new 18. The trends are there that many kids see no reason to grow up, and they accept what my daughter used to jokingly refer to as adulting. Now they don't go for it. They want to live in mommy's basement. I don't know whether it be a result of the digital age or helicopter parents or just a willingness to simply mollycoddle teens into their 20s. The fact remains that less of our younger society is fully prepared and even willing to engage with society at the next level. There's one researcher from Columbia University that stated that 25 is the new 18 and delayed adolescence is no longer a theory, but a reality. Delayed adolescence. Well, if that's true, then we are seeing the immaturing of society. Think about that. I coined the phrase here, the immaturing of society. But yet we tell children they need to make adult decisions about sex and sexual identity. Makes no sense. States like California allow kids as young as 12, to make their own healthcare decisions without parental consent. But yet studies show that upwards of 80% of children who have gender dysphoria, they embrace their own biological sex as they emerge from puberty. But children who face the social contagion of constant pressure to follow their own truth, get medical intervention, even surgeries, they wind up more often than not with a lifetime of counseling and medication. Whatever the case, it's socially oxymoronic of us as a culture to, on the one hand, raise up children to be children past their prime, big man childs and girly women who have no desire or motivation to exit mommy's basement. At the same time, though, we have a society that will tell a child they need to understand and accept and even participate in adult versions of sexuality. Even to the extent of allowing children who cannot drive or legally sign a contract or marry or join the military to make a decision that they are not what their biology says they are. We've apparently reached the zenith of social schizophrenia. On the one hand, we tell a child to never grow up. On the other hand, we demand that they be treated as an adult about sexual decisions. Look, we got to rein this in. We have to affirm our kids. We have to love our kids and remain involved in their lives. We must love them enough to tell them no and teach them responsibility, but yet shield them from the burdens of adulthood before their time. They will be adults soon enough. And how will they remember their childhood? You see, kids are a gift from God, and we are called to be good stewards of His gifts. Go listen to some baby laughter. Tell me I'm wrong. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, think about it. We let kids not grow up, so to speak. They live in mommy's basement. They don't want to make adult decisions. Adulting is hard. And yet at the same time, we tell 12-year-olds, make your own decision. Do you want to change your identity? Do you want to change your name? Do you want to have a surgery? That is literally social schizophrenia. And we as a nation are going to be judged for it if we're not careful. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades up in here. That's what we're doing. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it, same number for both. A couple of them already in the hopper. Brian from Decatur, he just says, I agree with everything that you're saying, but keep in mind, Alabama allows a 14-year-old to keep medical diagnoses from their parents by law. That's what I was told. That's what you were told. Not entirely. No, I think there are actually some things at schools that they're allowed to do, but not like what we're talking about here in the you know, the transgender stuff that I just talked about a moment ago in my monologue. But I agree. I think there was something, and Brian, I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it came up during COVID with regards to the vaccines, that a child, if there was something that was pre-approved like that for the school system, the child could ask for it without the parents' consent, which I still find to be galling. But yes, there is something still in state law that needs to get unwound. And nobody knew it was there until COVID, if I recall. But not transitioning a kid. John from Huntsville checks in, says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, did you hear that Kamala Harris allegedly plagiarized at least 12 sections of her criminal justice book? Also, JP, did you hear the new New York Jets just traded Aaron Rodgers to the L.A. Raiders? What?
No, they did not trade Aaron Rodgers. They traded the Raiders traded Davante Adams to the Jets. It was a... He must have gotten that mistake. You know, it's funny. I saw that and I was like, is he breaking news to me? Do I need to check this out?
But you double checked real quick?
No, Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. But Aaron Rodgers' former teammate of Davante Adams just got traded to the Jets. So they are now reunited.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Now I understand.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. John from Huntsville, square yourself away, buddy. Got us all worked up there for a second. All right. Hey, listen, text it in or call it in. We got both. There's a lot of stuff happening in the news right now. And one of the things that that John from Huntsville has mentioned is, so Kamala came out with a book. It was basically a book about what a great attorney general she was, and how she fought crime, and, you know, all the things that, you know, she wants everybody to know. And we're finding out now that when you run it through AI, which, you know, wasn't available when the book came out, but when you run it through AI, you begin to find, holy cow, she has potentially plagiarized large sections of that book. Very interesting. This is, by the way, you know what? Stuff happens. I mean, just the other day, I write my op-ed every week, and the other day, the editor that I sent it to pointed out that I had not sufficiently annotated or put in quotations something that I was referencing. I needed to go back and clean it up, and I did. And I get that. That happens. I mean, if you're going to reference something or if you're going to write using something as a resource, you have to footnote or give credit to. She apparently didn't do that. She apparently went all in and just made it her own. And so, wow.
Are we surprised?
No, we're not. I just think it's worth talking about. There's also, by the way, some stuff happening. Listen, JP and I were talking before the show. When it comes to the Harris-Waltz campaign, can you smell fear? I think I can smell fear.
Yeah. The stuff I'm seeing lately is seems like desperation.
It does. It reeks of desperation. There's some things happening. I just retweeted. And by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at @SinPhilWilliams. And then Right Side Media also has its own social media account. You can follow all of it on X and on Instagram. And where else are we?
Facebook.
Yeah, we're out there. Mm-hmm. But I just posted something a minute ago that just really caught my attention. It's like, wow, did she really just do that? So the Kamala Harris campaign just posted a moment ago in this giant, like, you know, green meme. It just says in big letters, Kamala Harris will legalize recreational marijuana. I mean, like big letters, green background. And then you read there's a fine print under it. And the fine print says under legalize recreational marijuana, it says breaking down unjust barriers that hold black men and other Americans back and making sure black Americans have opportunities to succeed as the marketplace takes shape. What is happening here? So I asked the question, reading the fine print here, but apparently Kamala Harris wants to legalize weed for black men? That's what it said. If you read it, that's what it is.
Yeah, but then you remember that she oversaw more than 1,900 marijuana convictions when she was district attorney in San Francisco.
Well, so it
appears
well
like
now,
another flip-flop.
Well, her. Now, she appears to have come so far in her views. You know, but don't forget, though, her values have not changed.
She's a middle-class woman. She grew up in a middle-class family.
She is unburdened by that, which has gone before her. Anyway, all said and done, weirdest post. But you can smell it. You can smell the desperation. Sucking up really hard. Legalize recreational marijuana and thereby breaking down unjust barriers that hold black men back. What? Come on, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I'm in this little brief moment here. I'm not quite into the dipper yet. I'll jump into that momentarily. But I'm curious what y'all's thoughts are on this. So Kamala Harris has tweeted out that she intends to legalize recreational marijuana. And she says it in big letters in this post she has on Twitter, X. I mean, y'all, go look at it. I reposted it on Twitter, but it's just like, it's kind of ridiculous because when you read it, first of all, I'm not for the idea of her legalizing recreational marijuana anyway. But then when you read the justification, because there it is, big letters, legalize recreational marijuana, giant block letters. And then there's the fine print, breaking down unjust barriers that hold black men back. And I'm thinking, what are you? Hold on. Are you pandering that hard that you're like, hey, I really want you guys, all you black people, to vote for me? So I'll give you some weed if you do. That's what it sounds like. Am I reading that wrong?
No, that's exactly what it is. And this is not the only attempt she's been making lately to win over the black male vote.
But with weed?
Yeah. That one is, that's like an unintentionally racist, you know,
yes,
thing to put out there. It's like, I'm trying to win over the black male vote, so I'll just put something out to legalize recreational marijuana. It's like, what are you trying to say?
Exactly. Wait, by the way, let's make sure that we understand that she already thinks that black people can't get a picture ID.
Yeah,
that's racist.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's not racist to say more black people want to smoke pot.
Yeah. And so, it's that on top of knowing her record as district attorney, it's like it makes it even better. It's the cherry on top.
The cherry on top. Yeah, well, you're going to have the munchies and need a cherry after you have all that recreational marijuana. So, the whole thing is just nuts. Just absolutely nuts. Bo from Coleman checks in. Bo from Coleman says, hey, Phil, I think Harris needs to stop the woke frying our brain cells, if any left. Do you still have that woke, that soundtrack that I sent you a while back where Kamala says, got to stay woke? See if you can find that.
I can find that.
We might need to play that here in a minute because Kamala's doing all she can right now. I mean, it's all God's children need Mamala to come in and give them a little weed to help them to the polls. Don't need your picture ID. Just bring you some weed, get you a nickel bag, and come on down, and let's all party with Kamala. That's what it looks like. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I'm afraid it would have been my child that if it had been my child that district attorney was keeping from me and had to go through all that, I would have definitely been prosecuted. Yeah, brother, you and a whole bunch of America. You're absolutely right. I mean, that monologue I gave you was unbelievable. Hey, back on this thing about legalizing recreational marijuana, let's not forget who she really is. Play that thing, man. You got it? Did you lose it? Did it go away?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Start that again.
Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. And again, she wants to legalize recreational marijuana for black men. You can't. My God. Has there ever been a candidate like this in the history? I mean, I guarantee you there have been some knucklehead candidates out there in the past. But you just look at this and go, she's the best you got? Really? Unbelievable. James from St. Clair County says, I don't know if you caught my message just for the end of yesterday. I don't know that I did. But I was subjected to some mandatory DEI training, and funny enough, all the bad guys depicted in the video were out-of-touch white people. I have no doubt, brother. There's also a segment that seemed to be suggesting that rather than coaching a minority staff member for a new position, others should be using their privilege to talk hiring managers into giving them promotion priority. James, I have no doubt, man. I have no doubt. Brian from Huntsville, back on the Kamala legalizing recreational marijuana for black men to get their vote, says legalize weed for specific cultures. At least she was, quote, blunt about it. Give the man some laughter. You got a laugh track over there or something? Just saying. That sounds like somebody's been smoking some recreational marijuana there. Bruce from Springville says, Kamala's desperate. She doesn't realize black people have caught up to her incompetence and the Democrats. I agree. That's why she's, I mean, there's a poll that came out. Let me see if I can find that real quick. I just had it a moment ago. The polling suggests that she is at a level of loss of the black vote that has not been seen in recent memory. In 2016, Democrats had 92% of the black vote. In 2020, they were down to 90. That's only a 2% drop. In 2024, right now, the most recent time seeing a poll says they're down to 78%. That's a double-digit drop. That's an exponential increase in black voters waking up to what's been happening. I got Ken from Rimlap. And I'll go to the phones here in a moment. Ken from Rimlap says, Phil, have you heard California Fleeing by Babylon Bee? I have not, but I think I need to, because if the bee's doing it, it's got to be good. I'll check that out. Thanks, Ken. Jason from Huntsville says, she's trying to make up for all the black men she incarcerated frivolously for possession of marijuana. I'm pretty sure that this entire ad of hers is illegal all the way around. Listen, you know, I'll be honest with you. So let's first of all take into account, if the law was that it's illegal, then the job of a district attorney is to enforce the law. It is not her job to change the law or to ignore the law or to embellish the law. Her job was merely to enforce the law. So I do not fault her for putting people in jail back in the day, but I do fault her for being there now saying, despite my record of enforcing the law against marijuana, I believe that all you black men need more marijuana, and I'm going to make sure you have a nickel bag. And this is it. This is the new phrase. It's a nickel bag in every pot. Did you just hear it? Not a chicken. It's a nickel bag in every pot. Just saying. The Doobie Brothers are making a resurgence. Let me go to the phones. Wolverine Dan's on the line. Wolverine Dan, what are you doing, man?
Well, all I know is that I'm a white guy, and when they legalize it, I can't have any.
That's right, because it's only for a black man. That's the way it works.
Well, Kamala, you're a little late as usual. I already do, okay?
Okay.
No, Phil, literally, truly, everything in moderation in your life everything in moderation, and it cuts the edge off. And Phil, I know you probably disagree with that, but if you're responsible, and, you know, I'm not an opponent of any kind of tobacco product, meaning, you know, the other type of tobacco product, but I have no problem with the gummy, all right? But if you're doing it respectfully and you moderate it, Phil, it's really not that bad. It takes the edge off. I have no problem with it, Phil.
Well, I feel,
you know, that's my freedom. That's my freedom to have that.
I feel certain that it takes the edge off. The question is the legalities, and that's what we're talking about right now.
Well,
but the reality
is
you got to look at this and go, if the legalities are, it's one thing. If the federal is still saying it's illegal and it's on the controlled substance list and the FDA hasn't even approved it, then the states are making decisions on their own, and Kamala now wants to legalize it just for black guys. I mean, what the heck?
Well, that's totally wrong. That's totally wrong. But, you know, I understand everything you said is not incorrect. That is correct, sir. But as far as I'm concerned, if you are respectful and in moderation, you should be able to handle it. That's the way I see it.
Well, I appreciate your opinion, Wolverine Dan, and for the first time, you and I are disagreeing, but all right, brother.
I figure we would, so I still love you, brother.
You as well, my man.
All right.
Let me get a couple more for the break, so I'll take it all the way up to the break. Jim from Grove Oak says, just like Biden, Kamala is just a stand-in for George Soros. I think that's probably true. Dave from Madison says, is Kamala's campaign up in smoke? Ah, nice. She's stepped on a gummy. There you go. Mark from Red Bay says Nancy Reagan's slogan was just say no. Evidently, Kamala didn't hear that message. She's been in office almost 4 years and hasn't legalized it yet. Let's be honest, too, by the way, she can't legalize it. If she tries an executive order, I got to say that I need to look back. I think that Congress controls the controlled substance laws. If there's something that involves an executive order, I'm not aware of it, but I do know this. She hadn't done anything about it in the 4 years she's been there. She also knows it wouldn't be a really popular decision, and it would put her on the cusp of making a decision that didn't have to be made. Mike from Florence says, first she was Indian, then she's black. Is she now going to claim she's Jamaican? I demand a DNA competency test. A DNA competency test. You want a DNA and a competency test, or you want to make sure her DNA is actually competent? I don't know if we can work that out. All right, Mike from Florence, appreciate you. Listen, the bottom line is this. She is pandering at levels never before seen. And by the way, John from Huntsville thinks that Wolverine Dan is smoking some weed right now. But she is pandering at levels never before seen. The idea that you would post something on your official page, and by the way, I'm looking to see, is this, yeah, this is, This may actually be her vice presidential. I'm not sure if it's her official account or a campaign account. Either way, legalized recreational marijuana, breaking down unjust barriers that hold black men back. I just look at it and go, wow. 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 Brian from Somerville wants to make sure I know it's called a dime bag, not a nickel bag. I think it's a matter of size there, brother. It's a matter of size. All right, take me to a break there, JP. This one got out of hand. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. No smoke in the studio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Brian from Huntsville checked in and says, actually, thanks to Biden-Harris inflation, I've heard the rumor is it's now called a dollar bag. And then Brian from Decatur again, he goes, it's not a nickel bag, it's a dime bag, it's a $50 bag with today's inflation. Okay, that's my last dance with Mary Jane. I am done now. You just never know where things are going to go sometimes when you open up Pandora's box. Let me jump in. Dipper number one, you ready? Let's get back to business. Kamala Harris, black dudes need marijuana, that's her vote getter. It's awful. All right, anyway. Let's jump in. First Dipper here for the kids. Let's take a variety of tax here. I've got stuff in my stack here. I'm looking at things related to school choice. I'm looking at things related to teachers' unions and who they endorse. I'm looking at things related to what's happening with transgenders participating in girls' sports in high schools. I'm looking at things about what's being taught about our history in schools across the United States. And I've also got a call coming up with Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty, who's going to enlighten us. You may want to know about this. Like, okay, here we are banning divisive concepts. Who thought that we needed to talk about what school guidance counselors are able to talk about? Because apparently it gets a little dicey. So first thing first, let's talk with school choice. Now remember, here's the argument for school choice. The argument is if you're dealing with, let's say you wind up and you're standing there, you know, in the fast food line, and someone turns around and sees your Right Side Ruffian t-shirt, and they say, well, I'm a member of the teachers union, and I take issue with that Right Side Ruffian dogma about school choice. All right, fine. Here's all you got to do. Ask them two questions. When it comes to school choice, it is just two questions. The first one is this. Who, in your opinion, is best suited to make decisions about a child's education? The parents or the government? If you believe that the best is the decision is to be made by the parents, you're automatically for school choice. If you believe it's the government, then you're not. Here's the next question. What are the tax dollars that are paid into the system for education for? Are they there to feed the system or to educate the child? If you believe those tax dollars are to feed the system, then you're not for school choice. If you believe those tax dollars are there to educate the child, no matter what school they go to, no matter how the parents make the decisions, if you believe that they're to educate the child, you're automatically for school choice. So it's really about two questions, and that's your rebuttal. If somebody says, I don't know about the school choice stuff. I heard they're going to destroy public education. I'm afraid that the teachers union says, all right, if you get in one of those conversations, ask them those two questions. Who is best suited to make decisions about a child's education, parents or the government, and what are the tax dollars for, feeding the system or educating the child? Everything revolves around those two questions. And then here's the other thing. Don't you think as parents make their decisions, they should have some, you know, I don't know, maybe right to be concerned about things that are happening in public schools these days? Because what happened during COVID was that parents everywhere didn't just wake up to it. They were actually able to see it clearly. Because what's happening more and more, right? And by the way, there are some great, wonderful, godly, called educators. I mean, they are called. This is their calling. They are doing what they are doing to educate our kids with a love for our kids and a love for education that is absolutely on par with what you would want, right? But if you look around, you'll also find that more and more we're starting to see that in some of the places that have always been somewhat sacred, we're finding activists. Activists in our libraries, go figure. Activists certainly in our school systems, activists on our school boards, activists in the people who make the educational materials like, you know, textbooks and things for kids. It's amazing. I mean, they are out there right now with an agenda that has nothing to do with your kids. It has to do with what they can do with your kids. And that's absolutely wrong. If a person is going into the education arena with the intent to, you know, teach social culture and social justice, and I'm going to make sure they understand these things about stuff in life, and if their parents don't like it, well, that's not their role. I'm the one who's supposed to be there to teach these kids these things they got to know that doesn't relate to reading, writing, and arithmetic. But if that's your role, you need to be called out and called out hard. Now, right now, just so you know, school choice is on the ballot in multiple states. Kentucky is a hard-fought battle right now. So in Kentucky, the state legislature actually passed a school choice bill only to have the teachers union and I believe the ACLU take it to court and fight it. And they unfortunately won because the Kentucky Supreme Court ruled that the bill was unconstitutional. Why? Why was it unconstitutional? Well, so legally speaking, I haven't seen the ruling or read the constitutional provision myself, but I just know from my own experience in the legislature that if your state constitution says something is what it is, then you have to have a bill passed by the legislature followed by a referendum of the people to amend the constitution. That's what they're doing now. They are that intent upon moving forward. And oh, by the way, don't forget they've got a Democrat governor who's opposed to school choice. So in Kentucky, supporters of school choice here, I pulled this off the Arkansas Advocate. I will go anywhere and everywhere to get resources to help y'all have your arguments with liberals. So supporters of school choice, says the Arkansas Advocate, Dateline yesterday, are hoping that voters will do what the state courts would not, allow a new path for state-supported payments to go to private schools. All right, that's the scary argument. We can't do that. That's a private school getting public tax dollars. No, that's a parent making a decision for their child and then allowing them the use of the taxes they paid into the system to have their child educated in a place they've deemed best. That's what it is. Kentucky is one of three states, along with Colorado and Nebraska, with school choice questions on the ballot this fall. Voters will be asked to decide, whether or not public money ought to be allowed to go to private education. Opponents say the measures would undermine public schools by shifting money away from them. Let me ask you something. If you don't have the kid, why do you have to have the money? Well, parents can go to private school now if they want to. What if they can't afford it? Well, it's still their choice. Yeah, but if they can't afford it, then why do you, if they can find a way to get their kid out of the public school into a private school, then why do you need to keep the money for educating the kid who's no longer there? Oh, you see how conflated this thing gets when you realize their arguments are hollow? We're going to do more of this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Got a brand new texter in the line. I saw JP just asked him what his last name's initial is because we got multiple mics from Huntsville. So brand new mic from Huntsville. Welcome to us. He says, talking about Kamala Harris's book earlier, being AI generated. It wasn't AI generated. It was written, and then AI is what determines she had plagiarized certain portions of it. Says those AI detectors can't be trusted, he says. Can't be trusted. Most of the detectors have flagged the entire U.S. Constitution as being almost definitely AI generated. Okay, I don't know. Source New York Post, he says. I don't know if we're talking about the exact same thing, but what I'm saying is, her script has been determined, her book has been determined, the manuscript, to have been plagiarized from other sources is what we're saying.
Yeah, I think in his sense, the AI is, in the way he's talking about it, he's right, can't be trusted in that way. But in the sense of telling if something's plagiarized, AI can pull stuff from the internet everywhere and see if it matches with it, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, in the way of AI determining if something's AI generated, I would agree, but that's not exactly what this is. It's not the same thing.
Not quite, but still, welcome to the text lines and give us your last initial so we can plug you in and differentiate you from all the other mics. So I'm back on this first dipper for the kids. And don't forget, bottom of the hour, we'll have Emily Jones on to give us some really interesting insight she just developed on what's happening with school counselors. But school choice is only one way of taking care of kids, because what it does is it puts the value on the child. Think about that. School choice puts the value on the child. Those who oppose school choice value the system more than the child. They value the school system, the government system, more than the child. Those who are pro-school choice are asking for parents to have a right in the say as to what happens to their kids, and it values the child as the primary concern in all issues related to funding and resourcing for education. Now, I mentioned earlier that we got school choice on the ballot in three states. Kentucky is having a bit. By the way, Kentucky legislature, they've been game on this. They've been not idle. They passed their state law. It was vetoed by the governor. They overrode the governor's veto. It then went to court. The Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional. They came back and passed it again, and now they put a ballot referendum on the ballot for voters to have a say. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott, he's also been working hard on school choice. Texas has school choice, but he had a ballot initiative that there were Republicans that opposed, and so he led a multi-million-dollar political offensive that resulted in six Republican House members who opposed school choice being defeated in their primaries this year. Whew, gotta love that. And then you look at what's happening around the nation, but you have to also look at what's happening in the current political environment. If we're going to say it's for the kids, if we're going to talk about what's for the kids, then let's take a look at who is for Kamala and Tim Walz and who's not. So just recently, story later on Fox News came out right at 6 weeks ago. A national parents group grades both Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz as an F on school choice. So if school choice is about what's best for the child, if school choice is about allowing parents to have a say, and Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz are getting an F from school choice advocates, what does that tell you? So the group's called Invest in Education. They announced their grades for the Democrat ticket, saying that it was a well-documented record of siding with teachers' unions and opposing expansion of parental choice in K-12 education. That's it in a nutshell. But the NEA, the National Education Association, which is, by the way, just the things that they support just make you wonder if the rank and file even knows what their dues are going to. I mean, if you go and read the platform of the National Education Association, oh, by the way, the Alabama Education Association is a subchapter of the NEA. So if you're an Alabama teacher and you're paying dues to the AEA, a portion of those dues then go to the NEA because they are affiliated. And if you're doing that, understand this. The agenda of the NEA is one of the most heinous liberal progressive organizations out there. And the NEA, by the way, has gone on record to give Vice President Harris an A. Well, go figure. By the way, in 2017, while she was still in the U.S. Senate, Harris opposed a bill that was promoting school choice for low-income families at the national level. The bill was championed by Trump and his education secretary, Betsy DeVos, but she was against it. She always has been. They also rate this group, same group, another group, Ed Choice is another group, says Tim Walz has a history of not supporting educational choice in Minnesota. He's always declined meetings with educational choice parents advocates. So the bottom line is this. If it's for the kids, then you have to look at it and go, okay, well, then who's running for office right now? Trump was pushing a school choice opportunity around the nation. Kamala Harris, absolutely opposed to it. Now, let me say this. If we're going to talk about for the kids, let's talk about other things that our kids face right now, a lot of which happens through our school systems. Kind of like, okay, issues in schools are not just about education. And oh, by the way, issues in schools are not just out there somewhere else. Did you know? I didn't. Till this morning, I did not know this. I like to think that I'm somewhat well-read. And as much as I prepare for this show every day, I don't know how I missed this. But in August of this year, it was announced that the very first school to be investigated by the Federal Office of Civil Rights for discrimination against transgenders is in Shelby County, Alabama. Did not know this. Shelby County, Alabama. By the way, Shelby County, Alabama is about as red as red can get. Shelby County, Alabama is, you know, the home of places like, I think Leeds is in Shelby County. I mean, you got great communities right there. I've been in court down in Shelby County. It's a very, typically a very conservative, very up and coming. It's one of the growth sectors of the state. But Shelby County, a federal investigator called this case a high profile one. Why? What, pray tell, was happening? Well, a mother complained. Get this. A mother alleged that a teacher at the school denied a student placement in a school program due to, quote, homophobic bigotry because the student didn't, quote, date guys and likes girls. I don't know if that's all you got. What we have here is what we know about it is now an open formal investigation was started by the federal government against a school. They chose the reddest state they could find in one of the reddest counties they could find, and they went after it. Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't all of the consent decrees against Alabama education and voting, weren't they fought from the Shelby County, successfully fought from Shelby County? I believe they were. Is this payback? I believe it might be. The case marks the first time that officials have used an expanded understanding of the new Title IX regulations that specifically protect students who are LGBTQ. What that basically means is, under the Biden-Harris administration, it has become apparent that if you are not on board with the LGBTQ agenda, that you are a target. Shelby County, Alabama gets to be the first. Now, crazy thing is, apparently the girl has already graduated, and apparently the teacher that was being complained of has already retired, and the case is still ongoing because they want to prove a point. The Alabama State Department of Education does not have any particular policies or supports in place to specifically protect LGBTQ students, says AL.com, the most liberal rag of news around the state. And I'll also point out this. It says in here, only 3% of LGBTQ students in Alabama reported being in a school that had a comprehensive bullying policy. I got news. Bullying is bullying. It doesn't matter what your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter how you identify. If someone's being bullied for any reason, we actually do have policies. What they really want is they want their own policy. Let's be clear. We have anti-bullying in every school district. It is not allowed. It is frowned upon. It is supposed to be stopped already. Just because you don't have one that says, and oh, by the way, we specifically mean don't bully LGBTQ kids. If you have to have your name attached to it, your identity attached to it, then what you're really asking for is your victimhood to be identified. You're not asking for an anti-bullying. The anti-bullying policy exists already. It's not enough. It's never enough. They need their own. Before I go to the break, I'll just tell you this. We're seeing this kind of stuff happening left and right. For the kids, I mean, how about this? Let's take care of the kids. Let's stop portraying that it's okay for certain things. I don't know if you saw this or not, but I did see, gosh, which school was it? Was it Utah? But anyway, San Jose State has a transgender, a guy that plays girls volleyball. Multiple colleges have now forfeited the games against them because they refuse to play against a biological male. I just saw, and I'm trying to think which school it was. Did you see it?
I believe it was Nevada, but I may
was
not.
Was it Nevada? Really,
yeah.
And the girls on the volleyball team all wore short shirts that said boycott, and it says boy in capital letters, like boycott. And they're basically saying, we're not going to play against dudes. We're not here to play against dudes. In New Hampshire right now, a judge is allowing a transgender teenager, it's a guy who wants to play girls soccer. They're allowing him to continue to play. U.S. District Court of New Hampshire issued a two-week extension just a couple of weeks ago that temporarily blocks a new law in the state against from being put into effect while they basically pursue an appeal on it. It's House Bill 1205 in New Hampshire. And listen, they're never satisfied, and they will not be satisfied. It's going to be important that we continue to stand. It's for the kids. I mean, if we're looking at what is reasonable, what is right. Do you want a biological male playing soccer against your daughter? Do you want a biological male using your daughter's girl's room? Do you want to know that parents have a say in things? Do you, oh, by the way, do you want to know that your tax dollars are priority one for educating your child as opposed to feeding the beast of the system? It's for the kids. Let's keep the kids the centerpiece of all of it. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. I'll come back and put a wrap on this, and then Emily Jones is calling in at 3:30. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So Benji from Hackleberg just checked in. He says, since the leftists are so determined to have a transgender playing sports, the most logical thing to do would be to have their very own trans class of sports. It'd be men's, women's, and trans. That way they can compete against all the other weaker classes of people. Yeah, but the only thing is, though, Benji, who's paying for it? I mean, I don't necessarily want my tax dollars going to have to, you know, set up an entirely, you know, new round of sports equipment and uniforms and field time and all of it. And then just so they can have their own. I mean, it just anyway, I get it. I hear what you're saying. Oh, look, Yellow Dog Mike is here. What Yellow Dog Mike from Huntsville is having to say. He says, school choice is a plot to destroy public schools and fund religious schools. You want to send your kid to those schools? Go ahead, but without taxpayer funds. Alabama passed the bill supporting that choice in the dead of night with subterfuge. The dead of night with subterfuge. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, dude, they were actually voting in the daylight after having multiple public hearings debates on the floor of the House and the Senate, press conferences. The bill was available for everybody to read and offer opportunities for change in the committee process, an amendment on the floor even, and dark of night. But here's the other thing. Yellow Dog Mike, don't send them there with taxpayer funds. So what you're saying is the people who have kids didn't pay taxes? That they have a right to the use of their tax dollars? Is that not the way it works? Tax dollars are just there to feed the system, Mike? Is that what you're saying? Yellow Dog Mike just walked right into that trap with his mouth wide open. We got somebody named Kano from Layton, Alabama, says, at Muscle Shoals High School in 1995, we had one guy come out as gay. He only got bullied for one day because his cousin and half the football team let it be known that bullying would not be tolerated. We don't need the government to stop bullying, just good-natured people. That's a great one. Listen, I'm not for the bullying. I'm not. Now, I don't think that we need to have protected class out of sexual preference, and I certainly don't believe that somebody can declare themselves to be a different biological sex than what they're born as. But I am not for bullying. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they believe. I'm not for bullying. So good on you, Kano, for you know, I hope you were a part of the group that stood up for the individual. There's one other thing I got to say here, too, for the kids. How about in the curriculum? How about the things that are being taught? Not just the environment they're being taught. Which, by the way, if you think for a second that the leftist LGBTQ agenda is not also being taught, you're wrong, because it is. I mean, think about it. Use of pronouns, helping kids transition in schools, the whole thing. But then what about this? I've got a story here from the Daily Wire. Dateline yesterday. More than 100 school districts across the country have, quote, land acknowledgement statements, many of which say the United States was built on stolen land and that the U.S. committed genocide. So what they want to do is they want to teach you from 17 different states that there are literally nothing to be proud about in the way the United States grew. That everything is bad because there were people here before us, and I understand that. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not denigrating any of the indigenous people. But you know what? It was Columbus Day. It was not Indigenous Peoples Day. It's Columbus Day. That's the way Congress passed it. And Columbus actually found land that nobody from Europe had been to before. I cannot account for things that happened hundreds of years ago, but I can tell you this. Focusing on the idea that America is somehow, you know, depraved or not worthy, and that claiming, and oh, by the way, portraying to students, you're on stolen land, you have nothing to be, you're part of the oppressive society, the systemically racist America. That kind of crap's being taught right now in public schools. 17 different states, 100 school districts around the United States are teaching and promoting the idea that the United States of America has nothing to be proud of because it's an oppressive colonial, you know, systemically racist foundations that denigrate anything that we have today. Unbelievable. All right, coming up after this, Emily Jones is calling in from Moms for Liberty. She wrote a piece that came out on 1819 News. You can find it at 1819news.com. We're going to talk to her because she's identified something that, as much as I've been around, I was really not tracking this, and she really put a bead on it. There is an organization within our school systems that's pretty radical. We'll talk about it for the kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, I told you we're doing this, finishing up the section on For the Kids. We've covered everything from school choice to transgenders in sports, Title IX issues, even content of things that are being portrayed or taught in schools, and then just really what it means for us to put the kids first in the decision making. Well, so Emily Jones, who's been on the show multiple times, she's the chapter president of the Moms for Liberty chapter out of Madison. She's doing an amazing amount of work, just kind of becoming known in the state in the last year and a half, 2 years, as somebody who gets busy and gets active and gets other people engaged with her. Well, Emily Jones wrote a piece that came out on 1819 News this morning. I saw it and thought, oh, she's got to come on the show. So I called her, and here she is. Emily Jones, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are y'all?
We're good. We are good. Hey, so, you know, as much time as I think I've spent, you know, battling the liberal infrastructure of education in Alabama, I don't think I was aware of ASCA, the ASCA. So go ahead and enlighten the audience, because you found something new for me.
Yeah, so, and you proved my point. It doesn't matter how much you've been paying attention to what's going on in our schools. The ASCA is an extremely dangerous organization because no one knows they're there. So no one's looking at them. No one's digging into it. No one's asking questions. None of it. And they're very progressive, very left in their thinking and their philosophy. So the American School Counseling Association, for those not familiar with it, think of like the NEA, right? Like the national organization oversees the teachers all across the country. Well, the ASCA is the exact same thing, only for school counselors. Where the ASCA is extremely dangerous, especially in our state. So they're in every state. Every 50 states, they're in it. Where we're in this very interesting little situation is that they're in every single school. Yeah. And I say they're in every single school because at the State Department of Education, they have they call it a guidebook, a framework for the school counselors programs, and it's for every public school in the state. So ASCA is literally in every single public school in our state, yeah. And no one knows who they are.
Well, so they're there, and the question is, they're there, but what are they doing there? So that's the part that really got me was, like you mentioned, they have an 80-page guidebook, 80-plus mm-hmm. page guidebook, and you went through it. In fact, I love this because I know it to be true of you. You went through it. It says you printed, highlighted, and flagged it.
So I did.
You didn't just look at the cliff notes here. You apparently wore that thing out and then started asking questions.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. And all of this stemmed from a very simple question. And this is the importance of parents having conversations with your kids. Alabama is unique in that we're an opt-in state when it comes to mental health programming. Yeah. So when you register your children for school, you have to say, yes, I want my children in mental health programs. I, of course, have never opted my child into it. And I've had the conversations with him to explain to him, you're not going, and here is why. So when he came home from school last year, he knew he wasn't supposed to be going to this class, and he told me, hey, guess what happened today? So it all stemmed from my son coming home from third grade one day and said, hey, this happened, and it's not right. Mm. So I started digging and asking questions, and the counselor, and she's a lovely lady. I don't mean any ill will towards her, but she's the one that pointed me to this 90-page guidebook, and I start going through it and highlighting and questioning and all this. And as I dig into that, I'm learning more about the ASCA and just the radical ideologies they're pushing. I mean, they're pushing gender-affirming care all the way down at elementary age. They're pushing anti-racism. They're pushing Gleason, if anyone remembers them, with Target. I mean, it's very radical stuff, and that organization is literally the organization that's training my son's counselor on the objectives that she's supposed to be teaching to the kids every single year.
Yeah, it's amazing. And by the way, when you said a minute ago, anti-racism, it's not that we're saying that they need to teach racism, but they're teaching a version of anti-racism that's more akin to critical race theory. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah, it's one of the resources they have on there is to Abram Kendi, who wrote the book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, which is the whole oppressor, all that stuff. There's a whole thing in there about George Floyd, and they celebrated the verdict of the Michael Chauvin, how do we say his last name, The police officer. They celebrated that and said, this is still not good enough. We've got more work to do. So it's radical stuff they've got out there.
When they produce this handbook, I mean, obviously, it gets in the hands of the counselors. It's out there, and granted, they have a they can choose to disregard. But are they? Is this a certifying? Do they certify their membership? Do you pay dues to this thing? I mean, how far does this go?
So you can become a dues-paying member. You can be a free one, which is what I am, and you find lots of info that way too.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I sat through a webinar the other day that was talking about Title IX, and one of the counselors from Tennessee questioned, what about when you have these really strong laws within the state, red states, and the facilitator, whoever it was, honest to God, said, these laws are really unfortunate. And there's
really
the laws that Alabama has. Very really? Unfortunate. We try to find a way to work around them. It's what they told the counselors. Being a member is really beneficial. You learn a lot. But yeah, you can be, you know, a free member, you can be a paying member, and then there is some level of certification. I've not dug into it because obviously I'm not doing it. But here's a fun one. The Alabama Board of Education awarded like a counselor of the year, I think it was back in the spring, they're ASCA certified. I mean, all of them that I saw that were even nominated or have been recognized at the state level over the past, what, year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
They were all ASCA certified counselors.
So are you getting any feedback at all when you ask these questions? I mean, I know that you have been able to implant yourself into their ranks, you know, and you're basically getting a chance to sort of, you know, look underneath the tablecloth and see what's going on. But are you asking questions and getting any response at all by asking them?
Not really. No, I at a local level, I've asked a lot of questions specific to their guidebook, because you've got the national that flows to the state, that flows to the district, and then down to the individual school. So I've asked questions around the district level guidance, because they do have a district coordinator per law from 2 years ago. They have to have a mental health coordinator in each district. So that's who I've directed all my questions to. And when I had the conversation with her, she was just kind of a deer in headlights. I mean, she had no clue. It was very obvious. She was just told, here's the manual, go forth and do.
Wow.
So I don't think they've got a full grasp on it. And that's not to say that I think every counselor out there is pushing all of this. They're not. I mean, I don't think directly that my son's counselor is doing it. But you don't know who the next counselor is going to be. And why is our state allowing this? This is in direct conflict with the various state laws we've passed. This document, that 90-page document, it was passed in 2003. Like, it's been 20 years, and we can't figure out how to update a manual for our schools.
Wow.
Yeah. We wonder why we're at the bottom of the list when it comes to school success.
That's also called bureaucracy. It's moving at the pace of bureaucracy right there. Well, you keep discovering. So I've noticed that you sleuth things out. And in fact, since we got a couple more minutes, remind folks what you found out about the Chromebook in your child's hands.
Yes. So there is an app called Epic, EPIC.
Yep.
And it's an online library. Superintendents are not approving this to be on the computers. Principals are not. Teachers are not. It's just there. And I was scrolling through it. My son was in third grade at the time, and I found like a whole genre of LGBT books on there. The principal had no clue that they were even on there. And it was, I mean, they were elementary aged books, like A is for apple, B is for boy, only T is for teacher, and the teacher's holding a trans flag. So there, it's very radical. There was even a video in there that talked about the history of the gay flag, the pride flag, I guess is what they call it. So, yeah, there's radical stuff everywhere you turn, and teachers don't even know it.
No, and that's the thing, and parents don't even know it. I mean, sometimes the teachers don't, and they're the ones on the inside. You got to wonder how in the world they cannot know. But then the other thing is parents have got to stay engaged. And so if you've taught me anything, it's that we can dig, and then we can even sign up to be a part of things, and we can – I mean, you really have done a lot to even – even me, as you know, I consider myself to be somewhat as an activist, or at least an active person at the very least, but you've taken it to a new level, and I really appreciate you empowering parents to get out there and do that stuff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I've got tons of information on it. If people want more, I can send them the 4-page notes that I sent to several legislators and somebody else earlier this week. So there's a lot out there, and I'm trying to make it easy for people to get smart on it as quick as they can.
Well, they got to, because it's about our kids, and that's the main thing. If we keep if we keep the focus on the kids, this stuff will get found out, worked out, and thrown out. In the meantime, Emily Jones, Mom for Liberty, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. Listen, that's just good stuff. I say on the show all the time that, you know, if we do anything on here, it's going to be in what I call the mission and the message. And I want you guys to know the mission and the message is real. I mean, Right Side Media is the company. Right Side Radio is what you're listening to, but Right Side Media is the company. And all of our writings, all of our podcasts, all of our radio, it all revolves around the mission and the message. And the message is, or the mission is, that every single day we want to do what I call the four E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative, walk around in today's world. But that's the mission. The mission is driven by the message. And the message is, I just want you to know that every day on this show, we stand for the fact that Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and oh, by the way, life is worth living. And if all those things resonate, then you got to know that what I hope you just heard was part of the four E's. I hope you're empowered in some way, or even educated for that matter, about what is happening in your kids' schools. There's an organization I've never even heard of. And I spent 8 years in Montgomery in the state Senate, and I've never even been aware of the ASCA, the American Society for, or American Association for School Counselors. And here they are promoting some of the most progressive liberal dogma that gets into the hands of counselors in every school in the nation, it seems like, and all over Alabama. Well, be educated and be empowered. It takes doing something like what Emily Jones just did, which is start asking questions, getting a hold of the material, dog-earing it herself, and then even signing up to be a quote-unquote free member so she can see exactly what they say during their Zoom calls. Pretty funny. All right, you guys, we're taking a break right now. We're going to come back and change gears, all right? Number two, Triple Dipper, we're going to jump into the Middle East front lines. Got to know what's going on there because it's biblical stuff. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Jeff P. from ARAB just texted in. He says, we must put a stop to this ASCA, the ASCA. It does not belong in our schools, and neither does their progressive agenda trying to indoctrinate our children. Completely agree. But the end result is it takes parents, you know. It takes parents saying something. It takes parents going to a school board meeting and pointing things out. It takes parents asking questions. It takes parents getting a hold of the materials they're putting out, dog-earing the pages, highlighting a few things, and then asking reasonable questions. And when they don't get the answer, go ask somebody else. And when they still don't get an answer, go to the school board and say, look, I keep asking questions and no one will tell me. Why is that? I'm a parent. My kids are in the schools. And by the way, if you don't have kids in the schools, you're still allowed to care. So that's an important point. It doesn't have to be that you have your kids in the school. You can literally have a concern because you're a community member and you're still a taxpayer. And oh, by the way, you still have a right to speak. And oh, by the way, you still vote for school board members. So absolutely go ask the question. Don't think, well, you know, I don't have children. It's nearly not my fight. It is your fight. It's your community. Do you know how much economic development is tied to how well the education system works in your area? Businesses actually locate their business interests based upon what the quality of life is like for the area. And that's a big deal, y'all. That's a huge deal. And so you absolutely have a right to say something, even if you don't have a kid in the school, because you're allowed to care. I got a caller on the line. Who have I got on the line right now? On line one? I tell you what, JP, go ahead. I got Jeannie on line one. Jeannie from where? Who is this? Do I have Jeannie on the line? I do not. I hear nothing. Did we lose her? All right. JP, see if you can get her back. Jeannie, you're welcome to call back if you want to. Did she say where she was from?
She said Alabama.
Jeannie from Alabama. Well, how do you do? Okay. Listen, we're gonna move to a new topic here in a moment. Dipper number two is Middle East front lines. All right. Middle East front lines. There's a lot happening right now. Not to say that there's something wrong with the news, but right now the focus has been very heavy on the hurricane relief, and I get it. It's been very focused on the presidential election, which is just like 2.5 weeks away. All that to say, we have got any number. We got any number of things happening around the world that need and require our attention. And by the way, we may be having some phone issues right now in the studio. So if that's the case, if you want to try and call back in, you certainly can. We'll reboot the phones during the next break and make sure they get back up. But right now what's happening in the Middle East is something that everybody should be paying attention to. You can pay attention to it for a variety of reasons. Number one, because we're an ally to Israel. Number two, because you care about foreign policy and how we are on the world stage. You can care about it, number three, from a biblical perspective, because this is Israel we're talking about. And you can care about it for number four, because we just yesterday sent U.S. troops to Israel. Did you know that? Did you know that? Some of y'all are like, wait, what did he just say? It's true. Yesterday, it was announced that the Pentagon is sending troops and missile batteries to Israel to be in harm's way. Now, if you didn't know that, that's why we're here. We're here right now to we exist for the sole purpose of doing those four E's, to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you. And I'm telling you right now, we have got to make sure that we're paying attention to what's happening in the Middle East, because so much of our economy comes from what happens in that part of the world. So much of our national security stems from what happens in that part of the world. By the way, where do we keep fighting wars in that part of the world? U.S. foreign policy is directly tied to the security and the status of forces in the Middle East. Story right now on Newsmax that I'll get into more after the break, but U.S. officials believe that Israel is about to target military and or energy sites in Iran. And listen, don't forget that just days ago, in the last 2 weeks, Iran launched missiles from its own borders against Israel. Gone are the days of just using proxies. Iran has been so embarrassed by Israel in the last year, so embarrassed that they've had no choice, they think, no choice but to do something as a sovereign nation against a sovereign nation. That's a next level, y'all. That is even beyond the constant fomenting of discord in the Middle East by way of proxies and supporting terrorism. Now it's nation on nation. And that's a mess. That's an absolute mess. And right now, story here on Newsmax, U.S. officials believe that Israel has narrowed down its targets in its potential response to Iran's attack earlier this month to military and energy infrastructure, as reported by NBC on Saturday. Middle East remains on high alert for further escalation. I'll tell you about more of it, along with comments from General Jack Keane, right after the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. Hour number three here on Right Side Radio on a Taco Tuesday. So I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, the Middle East front lines. And I'm serious when I say you guys got to pay attention to this. This is a big one. What is happening with Israel right now is some next level news, all right? And it's important for us to stay in tune with it. First off, just remember that this is beyond now just a proxy war. Iran is certainly the fomenter of discord in the entire Middle East. They are the purveyors of terrorism across the world, really, but they and don't forget, by the way, Iran is directly responsible for the deaths of US soldiers. You've got right now, Israel is still leveling portions of the Gaza Strip, fighting Hamas after the October 7th massacre last year. Then Hezbollah got busy from Lebanon on the northern border, firing rockets on a just large scale. Hezbollah is known to have well over 100,000 rockets at their disposal. Israel has decided enough's enough. But then to add to that, Iran, which is the big, you know, the big daddy, the mafia mob don who funds all of these groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis, Iran began firing ballistic missiles from its own territory as a nation-on-nation attack. So right now what we're waiting for is to see what Israel's going to do, because believe me, Israel's going to do something as to Iran itself. Iran proper is bracing itself for what could happen. The world's bracing itself. The Middle East right now, according to Newsmax, remains on high alert as people worldwide speculate that Israel is selecting its targets carefully and preparing itself to act. U.S. officials say Israel, to their knowledge, has not made final decisions about how and when, but it is largely expected that they will respond during this period of time that we're in right now, which is the Yom Kippur holiday timeframe. Israel's military says it continues to operate in southern Lebanon to dismantle Hezbollah infrastructure. They say, here's a statement by the Israeli military. It says, over the past day, this, by the way, this dateline 2 days ago. It said, just in that one day, they struck approximately 200 Hezbollah targets in Lebanon and southern Lebanon, including terrorist cells, launchers, anti-tank missile posts, and terrorist infrastructure sites. They also say that five launches of missiles were intercepted coming in from Lebanon into Israel territory. They've had several injuries of Israeli soldiers. They also, by the way, discovered another underground tunnel leading to hideouts just across the border in Lebanon. Hezbollah says it's been firing rockets deeper into Israel. And Israel has now expanded its operations such that it now has ground forces inside of Lebanon. So keep in mind, you may look at this and go, well, Hezbollah, the people of Lebanon, well, not all the people of Lebanon are on board with Hezbollah. Hezbollah is like a nation within a nation. It is such a large-scale organization. It is one of the largest terrorist organizations ever known in the history of man. It's a nation within a nation. It's basically a nation without borders of its own. It uses the country of Lebanon as its base. The Lebanese government is feckless in its ability to even deal with Hezbollah. And yet, right now, the people are seeing what happens when you have feckless leadership. 1.2 million Lebanese people have been displaced because of the fighting. Lebanon's actual government says 2,100 people have been killed, 10,000 wounded in the last year of fighting. UN peacekeepers in Lebanon say that they've had three separate incidents where peacekeeping soldiers were wounded because they were too near the conflict. Israel's getting busy, and rightfully so. A separate story here on Town Hall. Dateline yesterday. U.S. Embassy issues a warning to all Americans as Hezbollah keeps firing missiles. U.S. Embassy in Beirut, Lebanon, issued a warning to Americans living in Lebanon. By the way, there's tens of thousands. It says U.S. citizens in Lebanon are strongly encouraged to depart now. The commercial airport remains open, and there is availability on commercial carriers. Please check flights. Since September 27th, the U.S. government has added thousands of seats and extra capacity to accommodate U.S. citizens and their family members. Much of this capacity has gone unused. So basically what they're saying is get out. Get out now. Get out now. So the reality is you've got a serious issue going on in Lebanon. Now, I'm going to go to a clip of General Jack Keane here momentarily. But the reality is this is ongoing. And this is developing. I mean, it's a fluid environment. Most battlefields are. But it's a fluid environment. I got a story here on Fox. They are still finding things. Listen, how much international aid money has been spent by groups like Hamas and Hezbollah to actually build their infrastructure to go to war with? Aid dollars meant to feed and care for the people, allegedly, is being used to build tunnels and stockpile weapons and, you know, do things that they were never intended. When are we going to quit funding terrorist organizations? How about that? Israel's military says it has found a Hezbollah compound stocked with weapons and motorcycles underneath a home in a Lebanese border village. Yeah, keep in mind, too, these folks, they also use human shields on a regular basis. Hey, before I forget, too, I'm going to be using that audio clip of General Keane here momentarily. If you get that ready, it's going to be a thumbs up when you're good with it. Israeli Defense Force spokesperson Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said in a video posted Monday that the bunker they discovered was only a few miles away from Israel's border. It was set up for Hezbollah's Radwan forces, which is like their special operations forces, to do raids. They actually had video footage of it. It's a fully, you know, contained underground bunker filled with motorcycles, weapons, ammunition, posters of, you know, former Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah on the wall. Oh, by the way, he's former because Israel killed him. This is a major conflict, y'all. We now have ground incursions. It's not just like shot a missile here, shot a missile there. It's not just a proxy war. You now have Israeli troops on the ground in the Palestinian territories of Gaza and in the sovereign territory of Lebanon. And, oh, by the way, dealing with missiles being launched from Iran. It's a three-pronged war with cross-border incursions. That's a war. That is not an action. That is an outright war. General Jack Keane had some great comments on this. I'd love his commentary, and I've got a few minutes. Let me just start breaking this down. General Jack Keane, in a recent interview on Fox Business, had some great things to say. I think this was done Sunday. So go ahead and start it playing.
Jack Keane joins me now. General, Israel invaded Lebanon so that it can reestablish its northern border. How's that ground invasion going?
Yeah, well, it's going, and it's going to be tough. And the reality is, it's part of a three-pronged effort that Israel's got going in Lebanon. The first one we've been watching for weeks, and that is the decapitation of their leadership. And those bombings that are taking place, particularly around Beirut, they're still attempting to kill as many of the leaders as they can. The second thing is to destroy their rockets and missiles. You know, they have a considerable amount, somewhere in the neighborhood of 120,000, 130,000. Estimates are that they likely have destroyed about 50% of that capability. So they're going to continue that effort as well. And then the third thing is the most challenging, the one that you mentioned. It's the ground invasion into southern Lebanon to force the Hezbollah forces back across the Litani River, which is about 18 to 20 miles from the Israeli-Lebanon border. Until they're able to do that, Hezbollah would still be able to fire rockets and missiles and mortars and artillery into northern Israel, and the people would not be able to move back. They've committed now a fourth division. They've got up to five divisions that they are willing to commit to this area. It's rugged terrain. The going is going to be tough to do this. This is infantry-type fighting that's taking place here. And in 2006, the Israelis had significant challenges with Hezbollah in 18 years ago and left after 34 days. They know a lot about Hezbollah now, and they are completely focused on succeeding here. Here's the challenge.
So you got to listen, break that down. That's a four-star general, Jack Keane, who is the founder of a group called the Institute for the Study of War, who is one of the best pundits out there when it comes to giving clear and unequivocal breakdowns of military force-on-force action and policy. What he just described to you is not what we've been seeing in the past. What he just described to you is not what we are so used to in the Middle East, where, well, you know, a bomb went off in a market. Well, you know, someone blew up a bus in Jerusalem. Well, you know, there have been terrorist incidents in Syria. We're not there right now. He just described infantry warfare on sovereign soil of a foreign nation by Israel trying to push Hezbollah forces back across a river. I mean, that's literally describing things from a force-on-force, military-to-military perspective. And I want to point this out again, and do not underestimate what I'm about to say on this. They're talking about pushing Hezbollah forces back across the river. Hezbollah forces are in Lebanon, and they are not the Lebanese government. This is not the Lebanese military. This is Hezbollah, a nation within a nation. This is like, can you imagine if... I mean, this is almost as if you had an entire faction in Alabama fighting against the nation right now. It's like a world unto itself. But that's what happens when Iran is literally growing discord by funding and training and fomenting these organizations. They are not even accountable to the government, and yet there are 1.2 million people being displaced by the fighting. Israel is facing missiles on a regular basis. They have launched infantry incursions across the border. They're trying to push Hezbollah forces back across the river. I mean, this is a war. And right now, you got to wonder, what's the U.S. going to do about it? We'll get back from this break. We'll talk about that, because some new developments happened in the last 24 hours. And I'll tell you, it's another new and different piece that I don't know that we all saw coming. But it looks like U.S. troops are going into harm's way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Giving you all the truth to put on a bumper sticker. Got several text messages here. Brian from Huntsville says, from your statement, someone in Alabama that sabotages in the U.S., the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, there you go. Shane from Huntsville says, a better analogy might be an army of Alabama attacking Canada on behalf of the government of Mexico. Oh, thank you, Shane. You know what? I was on the fly, brother, but I appreciate you chiming in. That's good. Terry from Huntsville says, Deuteronomy 32:41, when I sharpen my flashing sword and my hands grasp it in judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and repay those who hate me. Okay. There you go. James from St. Clair County. Is Hezbollah the result of a power vacuum after the assassination of Gaddafi years ago? No. Hezbollah is the direct result of the influence of Iran trying to foment discord. Ken from Decatur says, just heard on Fox News that the administration is demanding Israel allow more humanitarian aid into Gaza or they will lose military aid from the U.S. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Except, Ken, I got a piece in my hands here that is going to be interesting for a lot of you out there. Look at this as that thing. And we're sending money over there. And we're doing, you know, we're foreign policy and, you know, rhetoric. How about this? Troops. Actual troops. Boots on the ground. You ready? The United States will send a terminal high altitude area defense battery. It's known as THAAD. A THAAD battery to Israel, along with the troops needed to operate it, the Pentagon said Sunday. So Sunday afternoon, this broke. On a weekend, things are calm. Nothing much happening. Hey, by the way, put the word out. We're going to send troops to Israel. That's what happened. Major General Pat Ryder, Pentagon spokesperson, said in a statement that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin had authorized the deployment of the THAAD battery at the direction of President Joe Biden. He said the system will help bolster Israel's air defenses. And it will. And it's needed. I guarantee you it's probably needed. But nonetheless, it's a different story when you're putting at least 100 U.S. troops in the middle of it. It's a sophisticated missile defense system. And it's also, by the way, going to probably inflame some of the mood and the sentiments in the Middle East. Iran's already issued a warning. Okay. Iran issues warnings just for people that eat cornflakes. I mean, Iran issues warnings for everything. But still, I don't totally take it with a grain of salt. General Ryder said in his statement, the deployment underscores the United States' ironclad commitment to the defense of Israel and to defend Americans in Israel and from any further ballistic missile attacks. Here's the thing. Each one of these THAAD batteries, when they go, it's got like 6 truck-mounted launchers, 48 interceptors, all the radars and radar equipment, 95 soldiers per battery. So when you're sending a battery or multiple batteries, every battery, just go ahead and imagine it being roughly 100 troops. This is a whole new deal. It's a whole new level. War in the Middle East front lines, they are real. The Middle East front lines are real. They are not just notional. They are not just terrorist activity. This is a war in the Middle East. This is infantry on infantry. And, oh, by the way, it's not just U.S. tax dollars being used to bolster our ally Israel. We are now beginning to send, trickle them in, just trickle them in, boots on the ground. And listen, the same enemies who have been launching missiles to do things like, you know, hit soccer fields full of kids, they could care less if it falls on a U.S. THAAD battery. In fact, they'd probably love it. So, yeah, they are going to harm's way. And we just had ballistic missiles launched from Iran into sovereign territory of Israel. And thousands of rockets have been fired from Hezbollah in the north. And so I'm just saying this THAAD battery could get busy.
You know, it amazes me that people who supposedly they're pro-Palestinian or, you know, for the Muslim population in that area, and yet they support these radical terrorist groups who use those people as human shields. Like, it, like Hezbollah, I don't remember the exact, you know, percentages off my head, but they are not well liked within Lebanon. I mean, there's a large Christian population in Lebanon that now those people are having to be displaced for, you know, their reckless activities. And you have Hamas who's putting Palestinians in harm's way and not letting them leave areas so that they can be killed and point the finger at Israel. Like, these are not people that are for the Muslim population in those areas.
No, they're not.
They're for themselves and they're for Iran.
And they're against Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they live for, is to be against Israel. Yeah, you make a great point. I got an article I didn't even get to, so I'll just touch on it before the music starts playing. From AmericanMilitaryNews.com, Dateline this past weekend, Hezbollah faces backlash in Lebanon as Israel's invasion widens. What's that mean? That means that the Lebanese people are getting sick of Hezbollah doing stuff that they have to live with, because they're being displaced not because Israel's doing what it has to do to defend itself. They're being displaced because Hezbollah exists at all. All right, we're going to come back, and I got some wacky stuff for you, man. I'm calling this next Dipper Stranger Than Fiction. Brace yourselves. There's people hacking everything in your house. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. All right, welcome to the final half hour here of the show as we get you guys into go-home mode on a Taco Tuesday. So thank you for being a part of Right Side Radio. Brian from Decatur, by the way, just checked in. We got some great bump music, but he says, I'm still waiting on Molly Hatchet. We could use a little Flirting with Disaster in there.
Yeah, we could.
I'm just thinking he may be onto something. All right, let me do Dipper number three. This one, okay, JP, did you see Elon Musk roll out his humanoid robots this past weekend?
I did.
A little freaky.
Freaky, but impressive at the same time.
Impressive. Now, there. By the way, I've got some like an article here on Gizmodo that says that they weren't truly autonomous; that they were being operated remotely by humans. Does not though deny the fact that you actually have a full scale humanoid style robot that has articulating arms and has the ability to remain balanced while it walks, and is just very reminiscent of the movie iRobot.
Yeah. I mean, it made me uncomfortable watching it, but also at the same time, I was like, wow, that's crazy that we actually have robots that can talk with people.
Yeah, and has the dexterity and the skill to reach down. They had one that was a bartender wearing a cowboy hat, no less. So I got this Dipper I'm doing right now called Stranger Than Fiction, and I kicked that off by saying, like, for instance, New York Post has this article about Elon Musk and his Optimus robots, they call it. Optimus. I'm not sure I even like that name. I feel like I'm in Transformers. Optimus Prime is, you know, about to wield a sword. But these were like 6-foot-tall robots dancing on stage to techno music, serving up fruity cocktails, playing rock, paper, scissors. Musk says he hopes that by the end of 2025, people will be able to buy one for like $25,000 to $30,000. Now, there are others even within the tech industry that say, well, that's a little bit, you know, presumptive to think you're going to have them out by 2025. But they do agree something like this is likely to be available by 2027. I mean, that's just a few years away. How far are we from having iRobot in our midst right now?
Not too far.
You think?
No. But it does make me feel slightly better about the situation that it's Elon Musk who is, you know, at the head of this and not somebody like, you know, somebody's a lot more slow. I'm not saying that, you know, Elon, I just feel better if he's spearheading this than somebody else. I'll say that.
Well, he so far he's the only guy with a beer pouring robot.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but he did all kinds of stuff. He came out at the same weekend. I mean, listen, did you also see, oh, by the way, the landing of the SpaceX rocket just threaded the needle, brought it down, just basically put it right on the money, and then the launch tower caught it. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. And it maneuvered, you know, almost like angled itself to go within
it's crazy.
To where it gets caught. It's nuts. And I saw Elon post a clip of him from 2021 where he was saying how we have this idea to make it work and catch the rocket back and everybody's making fun of us. He's like, I may be crazy, but we're going to work at it. And look, 3 years later, it's happening.
Look what happens when the free market's allowed to work.
Yeah.
Look what the private sector did. Meanwhile, NASA is working on their pronouns and trying to find ways to work against white privilege in the ranks of NASA, and Elon's out there landing rockets, building robots. Oh, by the way, he also had the the robo-taxi or something like that?
The robo-taxi and the cyber van, the name of the other one that holds up to 20 people.
Everything looked like iRobot to me in that. The whole thing was kind of crazy. So all that to say, there's a lot of technology out there, a lot of things that are almost stranger than fiction that are actually happening. They're coming true. I don't know how long it'll be till we have, the ability to purchase a robot servant. I don't know. When will it come that I can say, robot, go wash my truck, and it goes outside and does? I don't know. At the same time, I find myself thinking, I'm not sure I want that. It's a little creepy, just to be honest. I mean, do you want to wake up in the middle of the night and see robot walking by itself in the dark across your den? I don't think I do. Just saying. What?
Well, I was going to say, what happens one day if he decides he doesn't want to do chores anymore and he wants to take over the house? And I wouldn't turn my back on that.
The
thing.
Scariest line from any movie ever made, Terminator. And on so-and-so date, Skynet became self-aware and decided that we were the enemy. I'm just saying, Skynet. Well, all right. So there's been a lot of stuff happening out there. Listen, I've got a stack of stories here. So how about this? Stranger than fiction. Have you ever had one of those little like Eufy vacuums? You ever had one of those?
Yeah, the small little.
Yeah, they find their dock and then they run around your room. They can program your room so they can, and they'll bump into things and they'll go and they'll clean. They'll vacuum for you, right? How about this story? I got it off PC Gamer. Robot vacuum cleaners are being hacked to spy on your family, chase your pets, and hurl verbal abuse. So, I mean, what we're looking at right now is in one particular incident in May of this year, one guy was sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden he says his EcoVac, which is another brand, his EcoVac sprung to life, began to run around the room, started yelling racial slurs at him, and chasing his dog around the room because somebody had hacked into his system and was using his EcoVac as a massive prank, and yet that's kind of creepy because you know what it's doing is it's also mapping the room, and it's in your house. Somebody is hacking in and getting into your house. EcoVac is now given assurances that a security update for their X2 model will be made available in November of this year. And I'm thinking, that's a little late for the guy who's sitting there watching TV and all of a sudden his vacuum is calling him bad names and chasing his dog.
When you laugh at it, but at the same time, it's creepy.
It's creepy. Hang on. There's more. How about this? Story off of Trend Micro. This happened a couple of years ago. One family found that their Nest security system had been hacked, which, oh, by the way, they had their smart thermostat into their Nest. They could, like, log in on their phone, do the app, change the temperature on the house because they're on vacation or whatever. They kept thinking, God, is it hot in here? Have you adjusted the thermostat? Oh, no. It was somebody had hacked in the system and kept dialing that sucker up to like 90 degrees in their house. The attacker still had access to their smart home devices even after they changed their Wi-Fi password. The disturbances only stopped when they had their network ID changed. In a statement, Google said that their Nest system had not been breached. The incident was more likely the result of a compromised password. Whatever. Somebody got into their security system. Thought it would be a hoot to keep dialing up their, by the way, who pays that energy bill? Not the hacker. So, yeah, you got people that are looking at this great technology, and then all of a sudden, Dave from Madison says, have you seen Westworld? Yes, I have. Westworld, by the way, the original movie back in the 70s, Westworld, still freaked me out. Yul Brynner. Yul Brynner made a great robot bad guy. We're not done. So far, it's thermostats, it's Eufy vacuums. How about your baby monitor? Oh, this is a big deal. I see your eyes. How about your baby monitor? How about this? One dad was ready to fight an intruder in his one-year-old daughter's room when he got there, but there's nobody there. Why? Because somebody had hacked into the baby monitor and was talking to his one-year-old baby in the crib. Yeah. He says, he goes on and does a video on social media. He says, guys, my God, my baby monitor was hacked this morning. I woke up this morning and somebody was talking to our one-year-old at 6 a.m. So we could just hear our daughter just making noises in the bed and this man's voice talking to her. He said, I was thinking there was a cop or somebody had gotten in the house and was looking over. And he said, and there's nobody there. He said, I started thinking, okay, what is happening? Well, they had their baby monitor hacked. And somebody is watching their child and talking to their child. And that's like next level creep factor right there.
Yeah, that's should be thrown in jail creep factor.
Yeah, it can also happen through baby toys, they point out. If you have a Bluetooth baby toy, weird things can happen. You're shaking your head. You're rethinking everything in your house right now, aren't you?
I don't have any of that stuff in my house. I don't even like. I'm not in, you know, the conspiracy land in this area, but I don't even like Alexas, really. Like, even nope. That stuff nope. Freaks me out.
Nope. There's no Alexa in my house. Mm-hmm. Nope. I literally have a Bluetooth speaker that I have to turn on, and it has to tell me it is now synced to my phone for it to play. Mm-hmm. And then I turn it back off, and it doesn't do a thing.
That's about all I have to. It's just, especially the videos of the Alexa saying, you know, the propaganda-like stuff towards Kamala Harris. And, you know, I don't like any of that stuff.
I don't want Alexa. I don't want Siri. How about this? How about New York Times, just a couple years ago, hackers breach a Ring home security system. Oh, they didn't just breach the Ring home security system. They locked the family in their own house and they couldn't get out because the Ring security system had electronic locks on their doors. The family's Ring security system had been hacked. The intrusion was part of a recent spate of breaches involving Ring, which is owned by Amazon. Three similar cases were reported in other states in Connecticut, Florida, and Georgia. And they're literally saying that the mom says the daughter won't even sleep in her room now. She actually spent the night with a friend because she didn't even want to be here anymore. They unplugged the camera. The family did. They unplugged the camera. They reported the episode to Ring, but they criticized the company's response, saying it provided scant information and deflected responsibility onto them for the security breach. The fact is this. Some of this technology is cool, but like here's another one from ADT. Dateline, last week. ADT home security systems hacked for the second time in 2 months. ADT on a broad scale says their company discovered an unauthorized actor had illegally accessed ADT's network using compromised credentials through a third-party business partner, and they had to take countermeasures to shut it down. ADT says it believes the sensitive data of 6.5 million customers was not compromised. Sure.
It's convenient.
Sure it wasn't. Sure it wasn't. They just got in there and roamed around. There was nothing compromising about it. Cyber News says ADT found unauthorized threat actors had compromised its systems overall. The hackers claim to have stolen, though, 30,812 records, including 30,400 unique emails from ADT systems. I'm just telling you, some of the stuff, the technology that we look at and go, that's cool. Bad guys can find it too. And even to the point of hacking your thermostat. But the one, I don't know which one creeps me out most, talking to the baby or having the vacuum chase your dog around the house and hurl racial slurs at it.
Oh, the baby one for sure.
The baby one, I think you're right.
That sends chills up my spine. And like, I think the hacker probably for the vacuum one was just having fun. But the one for the baby, that's like, that guy needs to be in a jail cell. Creepy.
I would agree. Is there some way to backtrack and find out who they are? I want to know. But then again, the one on the Eufy vacuum, do you see yourself arming your, like grabbing the shotgun and just taking the Eufy out back and ending the whole thing?
Yeah.
Stare this one down, buddy. Chase my dog, will you? All right, take a break, man. We'll take that break. We'll come right back and clean up. Somebody just texted in and said, you just woke up my Siri. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, creepy technology. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Dave from Madison did say I just woke up his Siri. Jay from Hartsell says it's all fun and games till the robots take over. See, it's what I'm saying. The whole world's being run by Yuffies. Siri talking to you and activating your... Next thing you know, Siri is calling for your Yuffie to get something done around the house. Listen, it's not good. Jeff P. from ARAB says, besides my cell phone, I don't have anything because I know there are creeps out there who would hack and spy on you and your family with all those devices. I'll never have one. Technology is good to an extent. Great show today, by the way, he says. And JP is falling right in and doing great. He said, I may not be the greater, but I give him tops today just for doing a great job.
Thank you,
Jeff P. Jeff P. is on you, man. What else? Well, Mike from Huntsville says, for that reason, I have never connected my thermostat to the internet. I'm saying. Listen, and by the way, here's the other piece of this. I don't know if you remember this, JP. It's before you came on this show, but I talked about more than once. I think it was in Colorado. A large number of utility users came home one day to find their houses extremely hot because they did not know that they had signed up for like a discount on their rate for their utilities if they used a smart thermostat, not knowing that also gave carte blanche to the utility company to adjust their temperature for them when they had a power surge. So they're at home and they're locked out. They can't. And they're literally locked out until the power company decided they could come back in.
That's nuts.
This is nuts. Badger from Athens says, using the hacked baby monitor, teach the baby bad first words. Yeah, that's not good. We don't want that. Not at all. Brian from Huntsville says, a pic I checked for security. Yep, tech can be. What's the pic? Can you see it? I can't see it right now.
Checking it out right now.
What you got?
It's a Ouija board rug, and it said, looks great until the Roomba accidentally summons a demon.
Yeah. No, thank you. Roger from Madison says, don't know about Elon Musk robots, but Phil did the best robot dance at the Roger B. Chaffee Elementary School, hands down. No, it took a lot of practice in front of a mirror. Roger, that's a memory that I did not know was still out there. John from Huntsville says he's given the grades. I'm giving myself a C- for getting my sports news mixed up. He's never graded himself like that. Giving myself a C- for getting my sports news mixed up, even though everybody knows the New York Jets would be better without old man Aaron Rodgers. Wolverine Dan also gets a C- for a disappointing phone call. And Phil and JP both get perfect A triple pluses for their equally sensational performances, and both are today's co-champions. Congratulations.
There you go.
Nice. Well played, sir. Well played. All right, listen, there's all kinds of stuff. By the way, Mike from Florence has texted in and says, my sister gave me an Alexa. I gave it to my son. Last time I went to see him, the whole family was gone, and there was blood on the Roomba. What? Blood on the – I don't understand what's happening there. Okay, Mike, I think you need to check in somewhere, brother. Hey, listen, we're going to keep track of a few things. So right now, just so you know, Trump's got a major event going in Georgia, and there's that's tonight. There's a rally in Georgia. He and Governor Kemp have apparently made up, and they are working together. And then Kamala is on today with doing a town hall, allegedly, with the guy, Charlemagne the God, who's the host of the Breakfast Club up in New York, I think he is in New York. Yeah, and so Kamala is desperately seeking to bolster the black vote that she's been losing in a big, big way. And then tomorrow night, I'm really interested in this. Tomorrow night... Bret Baier is doing an interview with Kamala Harris. And this one, I'm going to say this is going to be her first real test of an interview. Because all of her interviews have been puff pieces. Even the one on 60 Minutes, which was the best one they've had so far, still edited her results and made it look a little glossier than it was. And so Bret Baier is not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I suspect that he won't pull punches. He'll be respectful. I mean, he is. He's a respectful guy. He's also a serious journalist. But I think he's going to wind up saying, but Madam Vice President, why not? Or why this? Or when did you? Or why don't you? What's this about day one when you've been in for 4 years? You know, so I'm looking forward to that interview. I'm probably going to geek out on it and have to watch it and maybe even live tweet during it. All right, and then there's plenty of stuff happening around here at Right Side Media. Let me just encourage you guys, tomorrow the latest Right Philosophy podcast comes out. You can check out all of our stuff at rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. We got a lot of stuff happening right now. More announcements coming in days to come. In the meantime, just know this. There are more of us than there are them. God is still on his throne. So stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.